It's a Friday afternoon. It's just after 11 o'clock, so we try and chill out a bit, wind down. And we do so in the company today of our guests, the Donegal Daddy, Michael Brennan. How are you getting on?
I'm good, Greg. How are you?
Thank you for taking a brief break from making high-quality online content for the masses.
High-quality? Well, thanks for that.
Clearly doing something right. And also Marie Rush. Hi, Marie. How's everything going with you? Maria? I said Maria.
All good, great.
I just say the A after Russia, go Marie Russia. Oh, can't do that. All right, no, can't do that.
See, let's steer clear of that. That's, I'm in trouble already.
Maria, thank you for correcting that early. I do appreciate it. How are you all getting on anyway? You enjoying this weather? It's nice, isn't it?
It's amazing. It's great.
Yeah.
Hottest day in September, is it? Ever on record?
Possibly.
So they're saying
it's 1909 or something, or 1991 or whatever. Thanks for opening up the climate debate. Maria, do you enjoy hot weather?
I love hot weather. I just don't get out into it very much at the minute because we're busy down below. But I love the heat, I have to say. I think everybody's always in such good form when the sun's out.
Yeah. You know?
I feel sorry for the kids going back to school this week.
I don't.
Do you not? No.
I don't.
They've been at home all summer.
I've had to entertain them all summer in the rain. It's my turn now.
This also was true, but not the wee kids.
I know. It'd be nice if they'd be able to enjoy it. But it kind of, in some way for me, has kind of eliminated the bad memories of the summer. I don't really need 2 or 3 months of glorious weather. Yeah. The little bit in June, this little Indian summer in September, I'll be okay. It'll get me through the winter.
That seems to be an annual thing now. We do get this in
September. October seems to be May. It's not too bad.
Yeah, okay.
We'll take it.
Let's see. We'll start with you, Maria. Mm-hmm. You have... let's go Freeview, actually, because we do an awful lot of paid stuff. Children of Men, it's on BBC Three tonight. What's this about?
It was on last night. But I think they'll do that thing now where they'll run it over and over again, you know. I suppose this is on my radar because I have been teaching that movie for years as an English teacher. And it's always one that... the more I watch it, every year progresses, it becomes more and more interesting. So it was, it's Alfonso Cuarón. It was made in 2006. And I used to teach it as a dystopian futuristic movie because it was set in 2027. It was completely far-fetched, ridiculous. All these things that are in it, all the themes, all the different, you know, the idea of London in the future. What's happening is there has been two decades of infertility where no one has been able to have a baby. The youngest child or the youngest person in the world is 18. Mm. And then there's the whole idea of Britain has left Europe. It has its borders up. There's a whole issue of asylum seekers and refugees. And as I said, when I started teaching it, probably around 2008, it was always quite futuristic and dystopian and this would never happen. And the more you watch it now, the more frightening it is because there's so much that's actually...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems real.
So it was on last night. I hadn't intended to watch it, didn't realise it was on. Came home, sat down, it came on and we went right. I think Emmett has only seen it once. I've probably seen it about 17,000 times. But I enjoy it every single time I watch it. So, you know, for someone who's looking for... I won't say escapism because it's quite a tough watch. There's a lot of difficult themes in it, but it's a very, very well-made movie. Critically, it's a really well acclaimed movie. There's like one of the longest ever single shot scenes ever filmed. It was the longest for a long time. I'm not sure if it's been beaten to the post in the last few years, but there's a scene that is 7-8 minutes of one camera and there's blood on the screen and everything. It's just, you know, critically it's phenomenal. And Clive Owen, Julianne Moore, Michael Caine's brilliant in it, but definitely would recommend it. Now if you're looking for something intelligent and lovely to watch,
And is it a one-way ticket? In other words, the stuff that seems to be coming to pass, and of course it's not like this whatsoever, but I mean, we're not... is it going to get as bad as they suggest?
I hope not. It does
because
turn
did
into...
Because you say, some say, that's one of the biggest, and I'm not saying it talks to this film necessarily, but one of the biggest threats to the world is the depopulation. We aren't producing as much as perhaps as we possibly should.
It is. It's...
So you're going to have to get your finger at Michael.
I have enough of me for it. I don't.
No, it's definitely interesting. One of the things about it as well, a simple silly fact about it, is in the movie Clive Owen wears a hoodie that has London 2012 on it. And the logo and everything is pretty much exactly what actually did come
to pass. So it's like one of these things that, you know, predicts the...
Yeah, so there's a lot in it. And then one of the nicest messages, or one of the most, I suppose for me, poignant messages, is that all the wealth, all the like the artifacts and the things that were worth so much money when things were good are now sitting in warehouses completely irrelevant because what's actually most precious is life.
Yeah.
And that, you know, there's lots to... you can watch it and enjoy it as an action film, as a thriller.
I love Clive Owen.
But it definitely is. It's one of my favourites now, and one that I'll watch again and again.
Is Clive Owen a wee bit Marmite? I wonder if he's a wee bit like that.
He probably is a bit like that, but maybe like that Inside Man. I love that Inside Man.
It's a very good film. Inside Man is a very good film. Actually, I think that's still on Netflix for anyone who hasn't seen it. It's a cracker. So Children of Men, dig it out. It probably streaming somewhere as well, somewhere or other. Yeah. It was on BBC Three. They tend to get the rights to show it a few times, as Maria pointed out. Full marks out of 10?
Oh, for me, probably a 9. I do. I love it. It's a classic. It's one that you don't really get tired of watching. And even the soundtrack, the everything in it, there's more every time you watch it.
Yeah, okay. You know? And as you say, people will be watching out now for that longer scene. Fisk on Netflix, Michael. Do you watch, we're probably all the same. What age are your children?
4, 1 and 4 months. And
do you not find that you're watching TV, it's through them or around them? They're constantly jumping up and down on you. Elbow drops.
Yeah, it's kind of like
RKOs.
We're trying to get, you know, what we watch is basically TV doesn't get, we don't watch any TV until you get them to bed. And then it's kind of, you're trying to find something that's not 2 hours long because you need to get to bed yourself.
So true, isn't it, Maria? Like, it is, you know, I can't commit to it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell you, there's one film that I want to see, and it's 2 hours and 50 minutes. And I have not had an opportunity in 6 months where I, you know, I'd have to watch that over 3 nights,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
yeah. Because you're kind of, by the time it's nearly 10 o'clock and you're kind of like, oh, I can't commit
to
go until 1 o'clock in the morning. Even though I end up probably sitting up anyway. But the, Fisk we found, I think actually Michael might have been talking about it when I, and then I went looking.
I don't listen all of the time.
And then, it's very...
It's right.
Like The Office.
It's a kitchen, isn't it?
It's kind of like The Office. It's like based in a law firm.
Oh, right, okay. And different she's, one.
And then it's Australian. So it's kind of got that Australian humour as well. And it's very funny. It's all comedians basically in it as well. Like, it's a lot of, so it's a bit like The Office, but.
Don't go and expect The Office, but don't you'll recognise. Yeah, recognise that's the kind of structure of
the feel of it. Like,
yeah.
But it's.
Very, and is it a drama just or just a straight up comedy?
It's also very like Parks and Recreation. We'll go Parks and Recreation rather than The Office in case people get too high up in the expectations. But if we found it great. We've only watched about 5 episodes of it, but it's very good.
Did any of you ever watch Blue Lights? The first time I heard it come up was at the NTAs there that were on during the week, and I watched the first episode of it afterwards. It's based in Belfast.
It was made in Belfast.
To do with the PSNI and stuff. I was encouraged by the first episode, I think.
Yeah.
But a lot of people seem very loyal to it, which is always a good sign. You know, they want other people to see what they've seen. So you're enjoying Fisk so far. That's on Netflix currently. My two favourites on the radio, Maria Rush and Donegal Daddy. It's pronounced Mihal.
Oh, yeah, it is, but listen.
So I got both names right from the get-go.
Listen, I'll answer to anything. I'm happy.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm just happy to be here, Greg.
I beg your pardon. There's no father on the...
That's a production issue.
Hard to get the help.
Right, come here. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with more. Tell us what you're watching or listening to, or what have you seen in the cinema. I know Donald Kavanagh here, just after the headlines, I think Equalizer 3's in the cinema at the moment. He went and saw it. He says it's the best so far. And that puts an end to that trilogy. So if you've seen that and you want to review that for us, please get in touch. And you can always come on air as well. You know, this is not a closed shop. 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps and texts to that number.
The county's number one talk show, The 9 Till Noon Show on Highland Radio.
We have Micheál Brennan in studio with us, Maria Rush as well. Micheál, of course, Donegal Daddy, known as Donegal Daddy. Is Instagram your thing, Micheál? Is that where you do most of your stuff?
Yeah, Instagram would be my favourite of the platforms, I think. TikTok, I do it as well, but I just like the interaction on Instagram. I really
get
like
where
it.
You're coming from.
It's nice. It's always a nice community. Like, you get the odd, obviously, but most of it's lovely people.
That's good. All right, okay. Are you on social media much, Maria?
Yeah, not so much as I used to be. I suppose I would have been, before blogging was a thing, I was blogging and writing and kind of involved in that whole thing. Instagram would be my favourite as well now, I have to say. Not on Facebook as much Just because I don't have time to write as much anymore.
What has just happened?
He dropped his phone.
Something went flying though as well. Like, okay, that's fine.
And then Twitter or X or whatever you call it, I'm moving away from it at the minute too. I'm finding
it's a horrible
it's
old
very
space,
negative.
Isn't it?
Yeah. But from the point at the same time, from the point of view of having a business, you need to be on socials.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy Instagram. I don't have much time to use it as much.
I've tried to give X stroke Twitter. Mm. But it's just the way stuff is pushed to you. Do you know what I mean? Like, even in terms of the conversation about speed limits.
Yeah.
There was no structure to it. It was just like people who are, say, yes, we should do this because it'll save lives. And then others suggesting that it was some part of some master plan-y...
Yeah.
And you can't express any view in the middle at all.
Exactly. There's no common...
I think that's what's happened on Facebook and Twitter over the last 8 years even. Mm. If you go back that far, there is no grey area anymore. Mm. It's, you're either...
And you can't agree with two sides.
There's nothing. Yeah. There's no grey.
Yeah.
It's like if you've watched...
And even common ground, you get it from both sides then. Yes. So if you try and play... Sorry, go ahead with your example, Micheál.
The Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah.
That... what is it called? It's about the election and... there's one about the Brexit election and there's one about the Trump election, but how Cambridge Analytica polarised everything.
Yeah.
And that's basically stuck. It's what's
happened. Yeah. And what happened is people found themselves in their own echo chambers never to return to general social discourse, which is so lovely. You know, in real life, this is the best ad for real life because you can just meet people and you don't really need to instantly know their views on everything.
Yeah. I spoke to Donald Kavanagh during the week, but we were having a conversation about this and I was saying, I suppose one of the reasons I'm not writing as much as I used to, apart from time, is that there's times I start to write and I think, I can hear what's going to come at me already.
You can get cancelled.
And, well, they can cancel away, you know.
No, but you know what I mean.
But you're right. And it's almost like I'm thinking... It's not that I don't want... I'll always defend my own opinion. It's my opinion. It's mine. I own it. It's fine. But there is a time where you think, I don't have the headspace or the brain capacity for what I know is going to come at me. So I just don't bother.
A parent, a partner, a business person. Do you know, like, you have to sort of say, well, do... Exactly. Yeah, that's it.
All the time. Like, every time I post anything that you're thinking, what's going to come back here?
Yeah.
Even there, just an example recently, we're trying to figure out 3 car seats for the back of the car. That is I spoke to the RSA, the guy from the RSA, done a Zoom call with him and he recommended, and like the amount of that fella doesn't know what he's talking about and you're going, he's the RSA.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. Everyone has an opinion.
Yeah.
But you know what they say about opinions. Yeah. Greg, I've gotten back into the office. I've gotten back to the office US. It's one of those classic shows that you can keep going back to. Can you ask the panel what is their comfort show? Now, I haven't seen... what is your comfort show? I think mine's Wheeler Dealers.
Oh, I love Wheeler Dealers.
I think that's... if that's what the caller's listening to. And I can watch the same episode over and over again.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They can repeat it all of the time.
I love Wheeler Dealers.
Yeah, I love Gogglebox.
But I won't seek it out.
No, but if it's on.
Yeah.
And The Chase, we've spoken about this before.
I'm off The Chase now.
Oh, I love The Chase.
Yeah, I've gone to Tipping Point.
I could watch it. I used to hate Tipping Point. And then... I think I got kind of into
what
it.
What happened? Like, and I'm going, The Chase is crap. Tipping Point is where it's all at.
Oh, I still like The Chase. I love Bradley.
It's strange own language, though. You know, that's the word. You know, you might get a bit of lateral. Or, you know, everyone's using this language. You're too busy to watch this stuff, but I watch it on delay or whatever. Yeah. One of Gogglebox's UK's original stars, Stephen Webb, and his partner Daniel Lustig have announced they're leaving the show. Stephen joined the Channel 4 programme when it first started back in 2013. The pair say they feel the time's right to explore other opportunities.
Yeah,
not what they may be, I'm not quite sure, but I know that's just hot off the press. So your comfort show is what? Yours is, I'm going to look for another one.
Oh yeah, I have loads.
Go on.
Do you know what I always love? I just go into and I could dip into it. Is Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's very choice. It's very niche kind of humour. My wife, Aoife, just can't get it. Hates it.
Maybe that's why you enjoy it.
Maybe. But it's great. And it's like 20 minute shows as well. So you just can turn it on.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's, Charlie Day is in it, and it's just brilliant.
Yeah, I think Family Guy used to be mine at
one point, same as that.
Then it kind of doesn't fit in anymore
with
the content. What is your favourite comfort show? Your comfort show, we might as well ask the audience as well. 086 60 25,000 WhatsApp and text. What's your go-to show? As I say, I think probably Wheelie Dude. This is probably mine, but it will change. What about you, Maria, then? So Gogglebox, I think that's a standard.
Gogglebox,
like that.
Yeah. And I have to say, I always dip in and out of Friends again. It's comfort in that. That's what we would have watched when we were, you know, you used to wait for the next episode on a Tuesday night to come on. And it was watched on a TV, one of the big thick TVs, the big old ones that I had in university, took from home. Friends, I think, never will get old as such. It's just lovely. Mm. I love Ricky Gervais as well, I have to say. And I loved Afterlife.
Whoa. Ricky who?
Ricky Gervais.
Gervais?
What did I say?
Do you not pronounce the S?
Gervais.
Do
you?
I don't know what
I have a clue. And you know me, I'm not great at names. You know me, I'm not great. Is it?
Ricky Gervais? I don't know. There we go.
Michael, say straight off now. What do you think?
I'm thinking too much about Ricky Gervais.
I would have asked Gervais.
I don't know.
I don't know the right answer.
I'm making
answer,
a fancy.
Maria. No, I'm not.
I don't know either.
I don't want you to think I'm pulling you up. But
I thought you were right. Don't leap all you up.
Yeah. It's not. No,
call that to the audience and see what they say.
Yeah, is it Gervais or Gervais? 086 60 25,000.
I'll tweet him here and ask him.
Afterlife is
Afterlife's
amazing.
Phenomenal.
I might go back to that. I think when I first started watching it, it was just a wee bit too deep. But I think now, you know, I might try watching it. Try watching it again. Right, okay, let's get some more comments. I think you finished that point, didn't you? Ricky Gervais is one of the shows fellas you keep going back to.
Yeah.
At Home with the Furies, absolutely brilliant show. Delighted Tyson announced a second series. Now, that must be in the bag for some time because I think I haven't watched it. He's going through retirement at that point. Now he's been back since then. I'm not a massive fan of Tyson Fury with some of the stuff he said in the past, but I think it might be fascinating to get an insight there. My comfort show is What We Do in the Shadows. It's Twilight meets The Office and is hilarious. The new season's out in America already. Don't know when it's out here. Greg, are there any more local podcasts out there? I love V&M podcast and No Other Crap, but would love to hear more locals. Would Maria consider a fitness podcast? That's coming in from your loving husband. No, I'm going to
No, it's not coming from him because he knows I don't have time for it.
We're here to launch it today.
Yes. Do you know, the podcast, about 7 or 8 years ago, Orson Sterrett from Northwest Entertainments said to me, you need to do a podcast, and he said he'd produce it. And I didn't know what he was talking about. So who wants to sit and listen to me in the crowd of the girls talking? I seem to have missed a massive big boat on that one. But yeah, it's something I've recorded stuff before, but maybe we'll do a new one on Highland. Will we?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm open to anything. I'm sure Highland is. Yeah, I think people, because I suppose in the Northwest, it's a small enough market, right? So people might judge their success on how many people view it, but it's all proportional. Like, I don't think there's no reason why more people shouldn't be doing podcasts. There's a gentleman in the west of the country, Tony McGettigan.
Tony's great.
He does a podcast that's well worth checking out. It's a series of interviews.
Super guest, yep. Like Ken, you know, Ken Doherty.
So that's one I can recommend. You don't pronounce the S in Gervais. Schitt's Creek's always good to rewatch. Yeah. That's another comfort one for them. Yeah. So thank God I never interviewed Ricky Gervais then, if I got it wrong. Gervais, not Gervais. Ricky even admits he pronounces it incorrectly. And it is Gervais, as he's part French Canadian.
Yeah.
And the source there is Google. Thanks very much for that. Fab panel today, Greg. These two are so relatable. Love the banter on the show. There two needs to be on more. These two need to be on more. Well, Swanny,
there you go.
Right.
Mommy, Donegal, Daddy. Start one, will we?
That's
lovely.
That's when they accept the invite. It's great to have them on. All right, you're tuned to That's Entertainment here on the 9 till noon show. We've another 35 minutes to go. We want to know what your comfort shows, your return to shows are. Speaking of podcasts, even maybe speaking about Division, because the Free State podcast by Joe Brawley is one, if you were to go onto social media, that most of the conversation about whether he should have or shouldn't have said that, rather than the actual content and discussing it. And that's why I don't engage in that much myself. But you're a fan of this one, Michal, are you?
I am. Joe is very like that. You can sometimes he gets into himself a bit, which I'm sure he knows he does it. But Dion Fanning's very good at pulling them back as well. Like, but there was, I just had a lot of stuff I could do on my own this week, so I got a lot of head and earphones in and podcasts on. So he done one with a two-parter with Roddy Collins, and that's brilliant. Roddy Collins is just a great character. Like, he's amazing.
He managed Finn Harps for a bit, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he used to manage Shelburne and that.
And I think he did a season in Finn Harps, or half a season. I seem to remember.
Yeah, I just remember coming to Finn Harps games with my uncle, and whenever Roddy Collins would come, we were like, yeah, we're standing behind the dugouts for Roddy Collins just to hear what he was going to be saying. But he does a great chat about growing up with Steve and boxing and the whole lot. And they just, it's just a great podcast. That one's brilliant. Like, he's just really normal for a fella that's a wee bit.
He is a booker as well.
Yeah. He was kind of on to promote the book, but he literally didn't do much pushing on the book.
Well, that's the way to do it, isn't it?
It was great.
All right. I didn't know they took guests in like that. I haven't listened to it.
Most of the time it's just themselves, but they had that two-parter with Roddy. And then last week's one there, they just talked kind of about Irish culture and the Rose Tralee and stuff like that. But yeah, it's good. Very funny.
And his brother Steve Collins, I think, is one of our best athletes we've ever produced. And, you know, when you talk about boxing in Ireland, it's often, obviously, it's going to be about Katie Taylor because of her current status, or maybe Barry McGuigan. But some of the best nights in boxing in Ireland were
Steve Collins.
Who can forget him and Chris Eubanks down in a cattle shed, it seemed like, down in
there. They talk a lot about that there fight and about the Chris Eubank, how completely mind-gamed him out of it.
Like, made out he was being hypnotised.
Yeah, they made
out
he was hypnotised, and Chris Eubank, Roddy Collins said he was he ended up in a lift that night after a press conference, and Chris Eubank got in with his agent, and he was like, he's just not right, he's not. And he was completely spooked by him. It was as mad.
Like, it was the advantage he had. He was sat in the corner. He didn't do the usual jumping around. Steve Collins just took his position in the corner. He definitely had headphones on. I'm not sure about sunglasses or maybe the hood over his head. But you should watch that fight back just for the crack if you're into boxing, because it's like the audience are in the ring. It is like there's no audience control whatsoever. And it was one of the best. I'd say arguably that's probably the best night of boxing in Ireland. But the podcast then is the Free State Podcast. Is it designed to sort of agitate, to you know, like sometimes I think presenters, you're supposed to love them or loathe them, but it doesn't mean you get them cancelled because you don't like what they say. Do you know what I mean? We've moved away from where you could.
Yeah. It's Joe Brawley being Joe Brawley, really. Yeah. And then Dion trying to kind of keep the reins on him and keep the balance a wee bit, like. But it's great because Joe just can go off on one.
You can read that one. I'm not reading that one out. It looks like a minefield, but if it's okay to read it out, hand it back to me. Right, we're going to take a very quick break back with more from Micheál. Do you get where I'm coming from? I ain't opening up that kind of worms. I don't even know what it means. Now we are joined on the programme by Sean McGinley. Sean, fantastic to have you on the programme. A real honour to chat to you. How are you keeping?
Very well, Greg. Thanks. Good to be talking to you.
You indeed. And you're helping us talk about the Allingham Arts Festival, and particularly the pre-festival launch, which is taking place in the Abbey Arts Centre in Ballyshannon this coming Wednesday. And you've been able to make yourself available for that, Sean.
Yes, I was supposed to. I was supposed to be taking part in the actual festival, but there was just a clash with work that made that not happen. So it was suggested that they would have the launch a bit earlier, and I would come and do what I can to help that. So that's sort of what I'm doing now.
And that piece of work, that clash, is Brian Friel's classic translation of Broadway, which is a wonderful piece of work to be involved with.
Yeah, it's a play I've, since I saw the original production of it 40-odd years ago, the Field Day production of it. It's a seminal play. It's one of the great cultural events in this country of the 20th century. I think it, as a piece of writing and performance, and the significance of the actual play and where it was set. Well, it was performed in the Guildhall in Derry, the seat of sort of imperial power over the centuries. And the play itself is arguably up there with the very best that Friel has written, and some of the, you know, it has to be one of the best plays that's ever sort of come out of this country. So there's a production of it going on in New York, and it's been directed by a guy called Doug Hughes, who's a director I've always wanted to work with. And I got a call out of the blue to meet him, and I did, and we sort of seemed to be on the same page. So we're starting rehearsal for that in about 2 weeks in New York. So, yeah, so I'm kind of looking forward to that.
It sounds a wee bit like the stars have aligned for you on this project, Sean.
Well, it's a great play. It's a play I've always wanted to be involved in. And there it is. I mean, we haven't started rehearsal yet, so... It's a very complex play, and you know, it's possible to make him balls of it. That sort of shadow is always lurking in the sidelines. So it makes you work harder because you know that, you know, having a piece of genius writing doesn't necessarily guarantee you're going to have a good production. So we're going to have to work hard to make sure that we do the play and the author justice.
Instead of saying don't break a leg, I'll say don't make a balls of it, Sean.
There you go.
Sean, looking through your body of work, and it's not, you know, tat amazing stuff. Every title you've been involved with has got name recognition, has been really well received, not exclusively, but in terms of, you know, the majority of it. Do you ever look back at it and A, remember that you did it all, but B, wonder how you've fit it all in?
No, I don't look back at all. I rarely watch my own stuff. If stuff comes off on the TV and I happen to be in a prone position, I might look at some of it, but I don't seek it out. My first work experience was in theatre through a theatre in Galway, and we never looked back. It was always, what are we going to do next? You know, how are we going to do it better and all that? And it was, you know, theatre is a very in the moment, a very present thing. So we were lucky enough to have a bunch of people who were always looking for something challenging. So we did a lot of out there sort of work, like in the 70s and 80s, we were doing avant-garde writers like Sam Shepard and David Mamet and Edward Albee, and along with our own classics like J.M. Singh, the Playboy of the Western World, and others, writers like Tom Murphy and Friel as well. We didn't do much Friel for some reason, but I'm trying to make up for that now. So, yeah.
And I mean, obviously, you started it in a very different Ireland, and Ireland has changed. And, you know, a lot of people have key points or individuals that believe contributed to that change. Do you think the arts and theatre in particular perhaps gets enough credit for, you know, pushing boundaries and influencing the awakening or the development of the country?
Well, I mean, the arts are renowned worldwide. The Irish, you know, like from Irish literature, from fiction, poetry, drama, is world renowned and has been for a long, long time. And more recently, music and film. And it's very good. But, you know, I think the arts in this country aren't funded in the way that they might be when you compare them to other countries, even across the water in the UK, and certainly in Europe. Funding for things like theatre and dance and is on a different level to here. But somehow we still keep producing the work. And sometimes you think maybe that the powers that be kind of know that the artists will pull out the work anyway. But I just think it shouldn't have to mean that the artist lives in penury. And a lot of artists don't have a lot of money. So yeah, I don't think that's right.
Yeah, and we won't get into it, but there will be a hangover from the controversy of Toy Show, the musical. And I know this sounds like a ridiculous thing to say, but there will be a reluctance, I think, for people to take chances, especially with public money. And I think, as I say, that's going to have a detrimental impact going forward, even though it kind of got caught up in something completely different altogether. You talked about your establishment of the Druid Theatre, but it's also your early years in Petticoat, a beautiful part of the world, Ballyshannon, of course, and how you came to be the Sean McGinley people know and you continue to evolve as. And that's going to form, I suppose, the starting point of this conversation in the beautiful Aberdeen Arts Centre in Ballyshannon on Wednesday.
Well, I mean, the town of Ballyshannon, I owe so much to because, you know, from a very early age with the drama festival there, that's still going strong, stronger than ever. I remember as school kids, like, going to every show that was on during the festival week and looking forward to it with so much excitement. And to this day, it's like some of the best things I've ever seen in stage, professional or amateur, were in that in the Abbey Centre in Ballyshannon, like from so-called amateur groups. Like, you know, I think of the Ballintra players from Monaghan, the Lifford players from Donegal, the Butt players, Sligo Drama Circle, and so on and so on. And more lately now, our own Ballyshannon drama group are hitting the heights with one-act plays and festival plays. I mean, the last couple of years, they've been at the All-Ireland Finals in Athlone. And it was, you know, I think the amateur drama movement in Ireland is owed a huge debt of gratitude for what it's contributed, not just to performers, but to, you know, I think the audiences in Ireland, all over Ireland. There isn't a parish in Ireland that doesn't have some sort of a drama group. And those audiences are very literate, very drama ready. I'm not sure I'd be doing what I'm doing if I hadn't been exposed at a young age.
Yeah, brilliant. And I only recently went to see some local production. I was blown away by the quality of it. And it's happening in, as you say, in little pockets all over the place. Sean, it's been an absolute delight to speak to you. Continued success, of course, with your career and particularly with Mr. Friel's work. And I'm sure you'll do it justice. And we look forward to hearing from you at 8 p.m. in the Abbey Arts Centre Ballyshannon on Wednesday, September 13th. The doors open at 7:30 and it's free to get in. And I think there's going to be a big demand on the seats. Thanks, Sean.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Lovely chat to you. Bye-bye. Thank you very much indeed, Sean McGinley. He's some operator, isn't he? He's unbelievable, Maria.
Brilliant opportunity. Translations is one of my favourite plays. So I wish him all the best. I hope he has a fantastic run.
And it's interesting that he's acutely aware of the pressure in doing it justice too. You know, you think you've been at it for so long, you've got so much work behind you, but maybe it's that pressure, I suppose, that brings the best out in people.
Yeah, and there is the pressure with the script, like translations and any of Brian Friel's works. They're so nuanced and there's so much in them underneath the written word that if you get the character wrong, it can change the entire meaning, you know. So no, that's great. It's great to hear.
But it shows, like, I think when you see someone like Sean McGinley worrying about
doing Friel,
I know the Aidan Gillan done the Faith Healer, and he came because Friel's got such roots to Glenties, and Aidan came up to Glenties just to get a feel for the area, and I was like, you think these guys are they're just acting and they just go in and do the script, but he came up to get a feel for the area and walked, and you're like, it's amazing how much gravitas, I suppose, they hold with Friel.
Maria, I mean obviously with your involvement in producing stuff, and I know there's moving parts and loads of parts and they all have to work together and blah, 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 blah. But in terms of, you know, how things are staged, directed, produced, or actors' interpretations, what's the critical thing in a show? Maybe not for one of yours, if you prefer, but even for translations, for an example. Like, obviously, everyone's going to have a role, but critically, who does the book stop with? Is it the lead? Is it the producer? Is it the stage manager? I don't know.
Yeah, don't think the buck stops with anyone. I think you're only as good as your last performance. And I think one of the key
who's got the most pressure then, do you think, in that
everyone
production?
Because right, I always say this, the person who only has one line in the show, whether it's a drama or a musical, if that line's not delivered, the rest of the show doesn't continue. You know, we talk about confidence on stage, and of course you have to have a certain level of confidence to go on a stage, but whatever day you walk onto a stage fully confident that what you're about to do is perfect, you've lost it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nerves are healthy, nerves are good, and I think it's just a credit to any actor or any performer that they respect the material that they're working with enough to know that they could mess it up with one slight intonation wrong or one, you know, but with the, you know, yeah, everything is, as you said, it's a moving machine, it's a moving part. Yes, the buck will stop with the director. Yes, the buck will stop with the producer. But anybody can make a mistake on stage. And one of the beauties of live theatre is that no one has a script in front of them in the audience. Mm. So even if you do make a mistake, you carry on. And as long as you're telling the story, that's the most important part.
And you, I presume, want to make the best version of that story. You want to create what you believe the author wanted, not necessarily to compare it to the previous best version of it you've seen.
Yes, and sometimes...
And that may mean taking a gamble.
Yeah, and sometimes what the audience actually have such a massive part as well, because they will laugh at a part that you don't expect them to on a Saturday night, and then on the Sunday night they don't laugh at that part at all. So they will bring life into the show as well. It's such a special thing to be able to go onto a stage and perform. And it's such an honour. We have such a fantastic array of musical theatre and of drama groups. And as Sean mentioned there, award-winning groups all over the country. And it starts with the kids. It starts with exposing them, as he said, to this. I mean, in Castlefin, I'm just going to throw this in, if you don't mind, Greg. In Castlefin now, at the end of this month, Sarah Holmes Performing Arts is doing Matilda. And there's a cast of over 70 kids between the ages of 4 and 18. And they are rehearsing all summer. And I know for a fact, because my two nieces are in the show. And that is taking a chance, putting those kids out on a stage, getting communities together, letting those children know what it's like, not just to be on stage and be famous, but to actually be part of a team, to learn to read each other on stage,
and
to support
each
other. Confidence
building, personality development.
You can't bottle it.
Yeah, and I went to a couple of recent AVS shows, Abbey Vocational School shows, and they were great. And they weren't great for school shows, because it was transition year children. Yeah. They were good shows.
Yeah.
Okay, I can confirm great news for you that Alan O'Reilly of Carlow Weather did survive Electric Picnic, and he's back with us again. Good morning to you, Alan.
Good morning, Greg. How are we doing?
Well, how was it?
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was hot, it was sunny, but it was very entertaining.
Were you up the rah-ring?
I might have been standing outside the tent. I need to confirm or deny that my singing was loud.
All right, shall we stick to the weather?
We will.
Come here, what a beautiful few days we have had. And we are heading into a weekend. What can we expect across the northwest for this weekend, Alan?
Yeah, well, Finnair and County Donegal yesterday had its warmest September day on record of 26.8 degrees. And it's likely that'll be broken again today, getting up to 27, maybe even 28 degrees today. Lots of sunshine today. Tomorrow, Saturday, it will be sunny spells, but a little bit more cloud around. Still warm, still 24, 25 degrees. A little bit cooler, obviously, near the coast. The chance of some showers breaking out in the afternoon. Now, the northwest might escape a lot of them, but there is a chance of some showers. And we did have some thunderstorms near Cavan yesterday, so there is a risk of those. Sunday then sees a bigger risk of showers and thunderstorms, with temperatures dropping back a little bit, but still above 20 degrees, 21, 22 degrees on Sunday. Just kind of watch out for the showers. But Monday then we'll see rain move through and temperatures dropping much further back below 20 degrees, back to normal. A nice day for Tuesday, but temperatures back to maybe 15 or 16 degrees.
So in terms of the heat wave, well, it's not a heat wave, but in terms of the hot weather, is that us now?
Yeah, really it is for next week. But some of the weather models do show a chance, of it warming back up again towards the end of the week into next weekend, but a lot of uncertainty for next weekend. But yeah, once you get past it, and actually it could become an official heat wave here in Carlow today. If we get above 25 degrees, it will be our fifth day. So a heat wave in September will be very unusual.
Fascinating stuff as always, Alan. Thanks so much for your time. Have a lovely day. That's Alan O'Reilly there of Carlow Weather. So maybe some indications next weekend could be another goodie. A caller says, I have to say, I didn't like At Home with the Furies. He was a bit annoying. Absolutely loved his wife, though. Give her her own show. Yeah, indeed. Okay. We're still in the company of Maria Rush and Micheál Brennan, the Donegal daddy. Now that you've sort of blown up, do you wish you sort of went maybe more regional? Northwest daddy? Ireland daddy?
Irish daddy, yeah. Possibly.
Yeah, I could change it, yeah.
The sequel. Ireland daddy. European daddy, I don't know. Let's not get carried away. You listen to audiobooks, Maria, and I ask this question in earnest. How do you listen to them without falling asleep?
Because I'm driving.
Ah, good stuff.
No, if I was to listen to it, I know some people listen to them in bed. I couldn't. I'd be out cold within a few minutes.
Yeah.
I tend to listen to them in the car or if I'm cleaning the house. Yeah. And I'm, you know, rather than when you're going from room to room, rather than having the radio on or whatever, I would put on an audiobook. Not all the time, but sometimes. I found myself for the first time ever last week getting the book as well as the audiobook.
Right.
Because I wasn't in the car enough. It was driving
me insane.
So
you audioed it, then you'd switch
to the... and I mentioned it. A friend of mine had the book and I actually got it from her because I was unable to wait.
Oh,
for
my.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. It was by Lisa Jewell and it's called None of This Is True.
Yeah.
I'm really good at finding these authors on their 21st or 22nd book, and I think I found somebody new, but actually they've been writing for years. But this, it was so dark, it was so quite disturbing, very, very difficult content in it, but it was so well written that I literally could have sat in the car for another hour waiting. So I was able to then go between the two and I finished it very, very quickly. And I've actually just downloaded another one by her. So definitely would recommend that. If anybody likes twisty thrillers and you're not overly afraid of what I suppose we would say trigger warnings, there's a lot of triggers in it, yeah. But the writing was beautiful. And that's quite unusual in I think modern fiction, to find someone who has a perfect story, great characters and is a good writer. Often it's one or the other. You've got mediocre writing with really good stories or beautiful writing with a, she now so far, and even I'm currently listening to Then She Was Gone, which is a previous book by the same writer, and she's caught me again. Her
right,
writing
she's got
exquisite.
You again. You're
yeah.
going to have to get another physical copy.
Absolutely. I know, absolutely.
Yeah, are you a big reader, Micheál?
Not really. I'm
terrible. I feel ashamed because whatever you have, as least as you've read, I will beat you.
I have ADHD, and so it's like trying to read is like, oh my God, it's like torture. But you know what? I actually done somebody. I seen a thing then one day is that get the audiobook and the physical book, and it's like you're reading it. It keeps you focused.
So you would do two at the same time?
At the same time. Really I only done it now. I only done it recently just to try it out.
Yeah.
And it worked really well because it keeps you...
You're the second person has said that this week in conversation.
I'm only recently found out that I
did. So in terms of an audiobook in its own, Micheál, do you find the same that you can... Like it's when you combine the two that you see the benefit?
Yeah, like it just means that you're... Like, there's times there you'll be reading the book and next thing your mind just goes and you're kind of... You've got the end of the page and you go... What did I just...
Yeah.
And then you read the same page and you could literally read the same page 10 times.
Yeah. And then the frustration kicks in and then you stop. You disengage, don't you?
Yeah. But, Mindful, the Dermot Whelan book is the one I read. I read it twice now since. It's a great book. It's mainly audiobooks I kind of stick to and podcasting.
Yeah. And another podcast... Oh, well, let's just do some... Today's winner of our competition, Anne Griffin in Ballybuffet, you correctly answered that question. But the overall winner with 3 months membership is Mary Harkin Ellis. Wednesday's winner is the overall winner. That's a real mess up there. So which is which? Right, okay. So today's winner was Mary Harkin Ellis from Anna Cunningham, but the overall winner was Anne Griffin from Ballybuffet, who was Wednesday's winner. Okay, you can make that a bit more clearer for me. It's not your fault, Donna Marie. We'll have it down off air. It's kind of my fault. Anyway, so tea with me, Shane Todd. Who's Shane Todd?
He's a County Antrim comedian.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, is it just that I'm into that more now? But it seems that the comedy kind of world or industry, I suppose, has blown up and... the Northwest and the north of Ireland, basically. There's like Shane Todd, Kieran Bartlett, there's a gang of them there that are just really good, really funny. But his podcast is brilliant. He takes in other comedians and you get a kind of an insight into the show end of the comedy thing, as well as they're obviously funny.
And sometimes it's just the casual conversations around what they're actually talking about that make you chuckle, don't you? Yeah, I have a few I listen to.
But the one last night I listened to, he had Foy Vance on, and all you ever really hear about Foy Vance is him falling, is like him being grouchy on stage, or him being, you know, and it's a great look at him. Just he's just sitting having a conversation with Shane, and it's really nice because I've always got that he's just got an attitude and an ego, but he's not. He's really.
What do you listen to your podcasts on?
On Spotify.
Spotify, and, is it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I mix between BBC Sounds and Spotify. Spotify could be a wee bit clunky.
Sometimes I find
because you know if you just don't get there quick enough, it skips onto something completely different, and you can find it hard to track where you were.
And it goes like completely different.
Like I was listening to a podcast about that awful. Lucy.
I was just saying, I listened to that. Oh my God.
But I listened to like the first 10 episodes and then I listened to something else and then it hopped on to like the 60th episode of it or something. I was like, doesn't make any sense. I wanted to hear what you thought about Barbie, but we can't because we've run out of time. Maria Rush, thank you so much for calling in. I really do appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Maria Rush of Rush Fitness, you can check them out as well. They're based here in Letterkenny, isn't that correct?
We are indeed. We're just down the road.
Yep. Just down the road from here. Trip over twice and you're on the bench pressing machine from here.
It's okay, we'll help you up.
Micheál Brennan, Donegal Daddy. Check out Micheál, of course, on Instagram, TikTok as well, but he primarily likes to engage with you on Instagram. And be nice.
Be nice, exactly.
Okay. Thank you both very much. Thanks to Donna Marie and Niamh Shields working on the show today. We're back with you on Monday. Have a lovely weekend. Enjoy the last of the weather until apparently it comes back next weekend. Who's to say? And stay tuned. John Breslin's coming up around the Northwest next.